This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Lou Roberts.
This is Tyrese Campbell.
And you're listening to the Every Step Along the Way podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this very latest episode of Every Step Along the Way. Mike, you are joining me tonight. This is a busy week for us, isn't it, mate?
It is. I'm already tired, if I'm honest with you. I have just come back from the panto, though, in fairness. It was Jack and the Beanstalk. I swear Johnny Wilkes doesn't do anything else other than a panto.
No, I think that pretty much is his forte, is his career.
Him and Robbie Williams. If it wasn't for Robbie, he'd be a nobody, wouldn't he? But yeah, in fairness to the guy, like he's great at what he does. Like the kids love him, and he is funny. He's only known for panto and being Robbie Williams' best mate. And let's be honest. So, but yeah, no, you've got me here lying in bed at 10:15 at night recording a podcast. We've got another one to record tomorrow, and I think we've got another
one. Recorded one last night.
Yeah, it's honestly, I'll be very podcast out by the time we're done this week, I think.
Yeah, then of course we'll be reconvening Saturday night to record a podcast to release on Sunday for your game that's on Tuesday.
Yeah, if anyone wants to stand in for a couple of games, you're welcome to do so.
Right, let's crack into it. Let's get cracking. West Brom, mate. So, obviously, the game was televised, wasn't it? It was on Sky. Paul Gallagher was in charge. Second in what turns out to be final game for anyone who's living under a rock and hasn't noticed. We have got a new manager. We'll get onto that later. But yeah, Paul Gallagher, I was interested. I mean, I said, didn't I, that I would like to see Hoover as part of a three centre-backs if we were going to go that way. And it appeared to happen, I thought, on the face of it. He did all right, Keanu, didn't he? One of his better games in recent times.
Yeah, it was a solid performance. I wouldn't say he did anything overly special, but he didn't really do anything wrong either, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's been an interesting couple of games for Galli. I think he's done himself a lot of credit. Two games that we could have come unstuck. Let's face it, we've come unstuck against, worse teams rather, in that time. So to get a point against Swansea wasn't overly great, but it was still a solid performance again. And to get another point against West Brom, who we know are doing really well this season, that they do play some really good football. They got some dangerous players. Yeah, we probably rode our luck a little bit at times, but you do that in football. So yeah, for me, Dan, that was a really strong performance. Did we deserve to win it? No. I'd say a point was about fair. I think they will come away quite disappointed by the actual result. I think they will think they could have won. Jack Bonham pulled off a couple of okay saves. I think there was a lot made of Jack Bonham's saves. The one that came right at him towards the end of the game, which he just hit him, fair enough. He stood up strong. Should be saving them. The one that he was hit chest height should have saved it. But I'm kind of not unbiased now because I'm that against Jack Bonham being in goal. I don't think I can actually give him a fair appraisal. I'll put my hands up to that one. But yeah, look, he did enough. He kept us in the game. The defending for that goal, Dan. See, this is where I think we need Wilmot back, because Rose is a liability. That it, just clear the ball out for a corner if you have to, or just lump it, just get it away. Don't try and, you know, shepherd the ball out when you're not absolutely certain that it's going to go over the line. Like, it's just stupid. I mean, there's probably two games in a row now where we've gone and conceded goals from stupid defending. And I just, if you imagine the games where if we wouldn't have made silly decisions, we would have been way further up this table right now. And let's be honest, Alex Neil would not have been sacked. So it's small margins, but I think Rose is working himself out of this team. And I think the new man, which we'll probably talk about, will soon sort that out, if I'm honest with you. But yeah, as an overall game, we did well. We got a point out of it. Gucci's goal was a cracking strike. He clearly meant it, obviously. Yeah, so it was good to get a couple of points on the board. I wouldn't have wanted us to lose both of them because it would have looked extremely dire when you think we're, what, 2 points off the actual relegation zone? So we'll be joint relegation based on goal difference. So a tiny, tiny bit of breathing room.
Yeah, if you were to sum up Gallagher's couple of games there, I think for me, he sort of slammed the brakes on that ship. You always see, like, you know, he hasn't turned the ship around and got it still in the right direction, but he's you know, the brakes have gone on, the anchor's gone down, and we look a lot more solid. I felt. I know, like you say, there was times we were able to look against West Brom, but for me, I thought they look like they're trying a lot more, and they look more united as a side than they were in the latter stages of Alex Neil's reign. And I think that's helpful for the new man coming in, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. And obviously, Gally's going to be staying on, isn't he, to be part of the coaching team. I like that. I think he's a really nice guy. I can't really claim to know what his coaching's like. I think none of us probably can. He's clearly staying at the club, so he must be a decent coach at the same time. So I think that was good. It was strange. Shawcross was part of all that, but he was a silent assassin, wasn't he? You know, he didn't really do anything other than kick a few balls around on a pitch, you know, warm up and all that business. But I guess that's what he's there for. He wasn't there to be in the spotlight. So I'm glad that they're obviously staying on. But I think you're right. He steadied the ship. He got us a couple of points. He's probably not done himself any harm in terms of his career. Whether he wants to be a manager, I don't know. I did see some calls for him to be the manager to the end of the season. With the greatest of respects to the people who said that, Luke, would you really trust him to take us to the end of this season? I know I certainly wouldn't. He got us a couple of points, but I think that was stretching it a little bit. So I'm glad that he's not the manager, but I'm also very glad that he's staying with the club.
Yeah, I reckon he's probably glad he's not the manager as well, to be fair. It's quite early in his coaching career. And at the minute he's come in, he's had a couple of games, done well, without being excelling. But, you know, there's going to be that sort of new manager bounce, et cetera, and especially if there's been any ill feeling around the place when the old manager was here. And that can soon rub off. And like you say, he leaves those couple of games where people go, oh, yeah, okay, it could be a decent manager in the future. Whereas if he'd have stayed for 20 games, that might not be the case.
Yeah, exactly that. And what do you kind of, what did you make about, you know, the likes of Rose and that goal out of interest? As I said, I think it was a poor goal to concede. I mean, do you think that Rose is someone who's going to be able to make it under Steven Schumacher? I think for me, Dan, he's not a ball playing defender, which we're not going to go into the absolute bare, you know, absolute mass detail on Schumacher. You know, if anyone's missed it, we did a Twitter Spaces that's live already on the platform. You know, you can get some real good insight and analysis on there. But one of the things that we talked about, obviously, was the nature of how he's going to play. Do you think the likes of Rose, McNally, let's throw him in there. Do you think both of them have got a future under Steven Schumacher? Because Rose does not strike me as a ball-playing midfielder. Certainly doesn't strike me as that. A ball-playing defender. Do you think he's got a future, or do you think he's one that we're going to try and get rid of either in January or the summer?
I think if he's looking for three ball-playing centre-backs, then the only one at the club at the minute is Ben Wilmot. So he'll be after making moves for a couple. Luke McNally's, he showed me that he's a decent defender, but I don't think he's comfortable enough on the ball to be classed as a ball-playing centre-half.
Agreed, yeah.
And I think, like I say, he'll definitely be in the market for one centre-half and possibly even two. It's whether he feels he can make do with two and have McNally as maybe a centre, or even, we've said before, for all the sort of poor performances on the whole of, say, a Keanu Hoover, he's actually technically possibly the best player we've got at the club. Do you know how the ways he can sort of trap a ball, control the ball, the skill levels he's got, sort of passed it out. When he's on form, when he's playing well, he has, like I say, higher skill level than anyone else there. So if he's in that back three on the right, and then you've got a Ben Wilmot, and then you get a left-sided player in, that could be your way to go. But yeah, for me, I don't think Rose definitely, I don't think, has got enough about him. What he was doing for that goal, I do not know. You play the ball, not the man, because the man can just, when you mark a Rose, the man will just dance around you and make you look stupid like he did. But yeah, I think it was a good finish by Thomas Asante. I mean, again, it shows, you know, you can't, other than what Rose did, you can't criticise the rest of them. You know, there was a block on there, and then there was another block off the line, and then Asante's, you know, just found the bottom corner with a volley, which, you know, you can't really do anything about that, can you? They say Rose's fault completely for the goal, and he was lucky because about 5 minutes earlier, that we'd had a corner, it had come out to him about 35, 40 yards out, no sort of pressure on him, and he's totally miscontrolled the ball, and it's just rolled away from him. And I think it was Dion Garner nicked in, knocked past him, and then they were in on goal. And I think it took Jordan Thompson, if I remember rightly, came across and put a tackle in just to basically on the edge of their own box just to stop him getting in again. And like I say, that was sort of like the prequel to him actually ballsing up and conceding the equaliser a few minutes later. So he didn't learn from his lesson there, did he?
No, exactly, mate, exactly.
Is there anything else you want to mention on this game? Not really much else to mention, was there?
No, I know we've kind of all moved on, haven't we, away from this. There's been that much happening. I mean, we had one shot on target and we scored with it, let's be honest. We didn't really do much more in terms of dangerous play on that one. Gucci clearly didn't mean it right, but it's nice to actually get a little bit of luck because I suppose as much as we say, you know, Galli got us a point, if Gooch doesn't score that goal, we actually probably don't even get close to scoring against West Brom. So we'll take the luck when we get it. We haven't had a lot of luck this season. We've had a lot of dodgy referees going against us and all that business. We only got one yellow card, which means that obviously Ben Pearson clearly wasn't playing. So else it would have been more. Nothing overly much more to speak about. I mean, I thought, like, man of the match wise, I was a little bit torn on this one. I can't remember who I actually went for on the poll, but if I'm honest, I've got to probably go with Gooch again. Not really just for his goal. In fact, not for his goal at all. I think his work rate, and you know, he puts himself about. He's quick to read, you know, bad balls. He's quick to kind of read the game. I'm seeing a different Gooch than the one that walked through the door. And I really hope that, you know, Schumacher can find a way to get him into his system somewhere. Now, we might not be a starter. We'll soon see. But I definitely think there's a really good player in there. So if Alex Neil's done one thing, he's at least got as a decent right back, right attacking midfielder, wherever he's going to play him. But yeah, he's definitely got the nod for me on that one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if he maybe sticks him a bit further forward, doesn't he? Or you can always stick him on the left. You never know. We'll have a look. Well, we'll find out soon, won't we, if he's in our team for the weekend. As for the official man of the match, it was actually Lyndon Gooch, 60% of the vote. Jack Bonham got 34% in second. And then Walterberger and Bejan Ho both got 2% of the vote to finish joint third. There were also votes for Josh Laurent and Kiana Hoover.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
I did. We may as well wrap this up and get into the news. So, there was no action for either the women or the under-18s this week. But the under-21s did wrap up their 2023 programme with a 3-1 victory over Nottingham Forest on Monday. Lewis Baker played in centre midfield, so he got some minutes in his legs, which is good. And there was goals from Nikola Jojic, Ben Kershaw and Kayla Redding. As we run out 3-1 victors to round off the year, so that's good. Now, the big news of the week... Lewis McCarr has completed a permanent deal to Notts County.
That was you wound up merchant.
Now he really has done, but I think the next bit is the real big news of the week. We have a new manager. So we have nabbed Plymouth manager Stephen Schumacher. He was appointed and on Tuesday. The days have all got mixed up, Mike. He was appointed on Tuesday evening, wasn't he, officially?
And, yeah, Tuesday evening. We heard about him on Sunday. That was generally looks like it was going through, and then I think it was generally Tuesday wanted that it was actually announced, I think.
Yeah, and he's been appointed as what I think is the first head coach. I can't remember as having a previous head coach. But yeah, that's his official title. He's bringing with him his assistant head coach Mark Hughes. Not the former state manager, Mark Hughes. A lot of people have sort of think, oh, he's come home, he's come back to the club, he's involved. No, not that Mark Hughes. This is just a completely different one. First team coach, Peter Kavanagh. Not that Kavanagh. This one's spelled with a C, not K. And goalkeeper coach, Darren Bassett. Now, Paul Gallagher is going to remain as part of the first team coaching staff. Whilst Ryan Shawcross and Alex Morris will return back to their roles as the under-21s, under-18s, whilst Jonathan Gould and the lead analyst, whose name is Charlie Ager, have left the club. So it's interesting how the lead analyst has left, Mike. And obviously, we haven't brought one in, but Stephen Schumacher, that is a big part of his sort of how he manages the club, how he coaches as head coach. In that, obviously, it's very sort of analytical and numbers-driven, so he must have created a position there to bring somebody in of his own person, even if it's not the guy he's got at Plymouth.
Well, I said this to the guy at Plymouth yesterday, that I reckon Plymouth have probably put something in contractually that stops us taking them this season. I reckon... It's probably something he can kind of get away with for the time being with maybe the staff that we've got. People can just move into that role temporarily. But genuinely, I think he's going to try and take as many of his reliable analysts and coaches away from Plymouth as he can. But obviously, as I said, we won't be able to this season. So don't be surprised to see that guy come across. If there's any way we can do it, and depending on the relationship he's got with Schumacher, which you'd imagine is a very good one, I fully expect him to come across. It's just a gut feeling. I don't know that. It's just I think it's likely to happen. At the very least, if he doesn't, then it opens up a door, as you've said, to bring somebody else in. So I generally don't think there's an awful lot he can do now. In January, we've probably already identified targets we want to go back in for. He might obviously have his own opinions, of course, but by and large, the data, he can probably fumble his way through it for the half of the season that's left.
Yeah, I imagine I'm with you. I think he'll bring his own people in as and when he can. And he's probably prepared to wait, for certain people as well. Be interesting if you see anybody who's still on gardening leave at Plymouth, isn't it, in the next few weeks?
Yeah, exactly. Let's be honest as well. We're not talking about people who are paid footballer wages here. The far further down the pecking order. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not going to be 15, 20 grand a year. They're going to be on some decent money. But at the same time, these people have probably got, families that are settled in the area. They can't just do what a manager does and just jump ship halfway through a season without really any thought process behind it. You know, it's kind of a slightly different type of situation. So, you know, yeah, assistant managers, they know the deal, a bit like a manager does. If we get a new job, we move. But people like this, I genuinely don't think it's that simple. So, yeah, I think it's a common sense thing to do. Don't rush it in. If he's got someone clearly in mind, which no doubt he has, he will take his time to get that person in. Don't doubt it for a second.
As for the manager himself, I mean, we've spent an hour and a half talking about him last night, didn't we? With sort of like, say, Plymouth, the guy from Plymouth Life, Argyle Life podcast, and also Heath, the scout who sort of, you know, puts a lot of stuff on Twitter. Just give you a little clip of what was in that podcast. If you haven't heard it, maybe this might just drag you on to have a good listen.
But we have changed this season. We switched to a back four. We don't play with the three at the back as the fans would like, really, especially away from home. Yeah, I mean, our style has changed somewhat from last season. I think he is adaptable. He's adaptable to opponents as well. You know, he's famous for we termed it the Shoey Roulette, and I'd like to think that name would continue. I don't know if there are any stats on how many changes are made game by game, but I can assure you that we would be top if there is such an EFL stat. I mean. And I think a lot of Schumacher's tactical nous, should we say, actually comes in game rather than from the start. He doesn't. I don't want to say he doesn't always, but he doesn't. If he tends to get it wrong to start with, he is very, very good at in-game changes. I think last season, I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but it was something like 27 points we won from losing positions. So, he's a lot more flexible than it's been given credit for. I think if you look at Kieran McKenna, he's able to put out a stronger squad, you know, a stronger team with stronger ideas and philosophy from the start. Whereas if you're going purely in-game changes, then Schumacher trumps McKenna.
Right. So that's that. I would fully encourage anybody to go and listen to that. We really enjoyed sort of the insight that we got from there, and it built up my sort of knowledge and expectation around Stephen Schumacher massively, Mark.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know we were always going to say, look, go and listen to the podcast. Of course we are. But it was genuinely one of the best podcasts that I've been involved in 3 years of this podcast existing. Like the insight, the analysis, not just about, you know, what formation he's going to play. Like, it was what type of a person he is, how he thinks, how we might deal with foreign players, and so much stuff that was in there. But, you know, from people who have literally watched him since he started in that job. Now, you can have all these pundits who have heard through the grapevine, or, you know, they picked up bits along the way, but hearing actually from somebody who's lived and breathed watching him, and, you know, it knows their club inside out and how it's changed since, you know, the low who was in there before, you know, you can't really get much more accurate than that. So, yeah, if you want to know everything there is to know about him, then I genuinely, hand on heart, would say you won't find it anywhere else to that level of detail. And that's a bit big statement, but genuinely, I think that covers everything you need to know.
Now, before you do go off and listen to that podcast, let's listen to the end of this one. And I'm going to have a chatty about Millwall.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, on to Millwall at home we go. So we have met the Lions 60 times. We have 23 victories, 15 draws and 27 defeats. At Stoke, we've played them on 30 occasions. We have 17 wins, 6 draws and just the 7 losses. However, in recent times, it's not been that great. So we've only won 1 of the last 10 meetings between the two clubs. 3 draws and 6 defeats. That one win was a 2-0 home win in March 2022. However, if we are to win, we're probably going to keep a clean sheet. 6 of the last 7 Stoke victories versus Millwall have been to nil. It's an interesting stat. Right, so no longer with the Alex Neil stats, we'll scribble them out. We're now Stephen Schumacher stats. He has managed against Millwall on one occasion, and it was a defeat. It was a 2-0 home defeat on October the 3rd this year in what turned out to be Gary Rowett's last victory as Millwall manager. So, Stephen Schumacher versus Joe Edwards. There's nothing on that because they've never faced each other, and Joe Edwards has also never managed against Stoke. Stoke's home form has them in 18th in the home table with 14 points. So Daniel Johnson's penalty and the struck own goal against Leeds are the only goals we've scored in our last 5 home games. Millwall's away form actually has them in 11th position in the away table with 13 points gained from their away games. However, since Joe Edwards took charge, they have lost 3 out of 3 games on the road. The last 5 matches, the two clubs have got identical records. So they both sit joint 22nd in the table with 2 points. They've both scored 5 and both conceded 9 goals in that time. Now, Tyrese Campbell, he's one game away from his 150th appearance for Stoke. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but he's picked up an injury. Well, when he does eventually make that 150th appearance, it will be under his 7th different Stoke manager. 7th different permanent Stoke manager, that is. Stoke have conceded 3 penalties this season, of which 2 were converted, whilst Millwall have conceded 4. There's only one team in the league who have conceded more than that. Of those 4, 3 were converted and 1 was saved. Stoke have the 3rd highest percentage of crosses that have been stopped, so the fullbacks seem to do a good job of stopping, you know, balls coming into the box from wide areas. So the 8% of crosses have been stopped and blocked from coming in. Millwall, they were a lowly 17th on that, with just 5.2% of crosses stopped. So that could be a way for Stoke, you know, if we attack down the flanks. It seems like, you know, we might have some luck there. And hopefully our fullbacks can continue their fine work at stopping the ball getting in the box from there. Stoke have the lowest shot on target percentage in the league, 24.4%, which is actually over 3% lower than West Brom, who are next worst. Millwall sit 18th in that with 31.3% of their efforts on target. The two clubs, incidentally, have had Millwall have had 1 shot more than Stoke, yet they've had 18 more on target than Stoke. So yeah, we really do need to start hitting the targets a bit more with our efforts. The referee is George Eltringham. So he has reffed 14 matches this season, given out 65 yellow cards, 1 red, but no penalties. There's been 4 home wins, 5 draws and 5 away wins. He's ref Stoke on 15 occasions, given us 29 yellow cards, 3 reds. He's given us 1 penalty, yet to give a penalty against us. He has refed us twice this season, which was a 2-0 away loss against Leicester and the Carabao Cup victory at home to West Brom, 2-1 in August. He has refed Millwall on 11 occasions, giving them 17 yellow cards, no reds. He's given them 1 penalty and given 1 penalty against them. And this season he's refed them once, which was a 3-0 home win against Rotherham. So on this day, Saturday, the 23rd of December 2006, Liam Lawrence, the right winger who was on loan from Sunderland but signed permanently the following January, scored the only goal as Stoke took all 3 points against Ipswich at Portman Road. The result left City in fourth place in the Championship and eyeing a possible playoff spot. So we'll take a 1-0 win. I don't think it'll quite take us up to fourth in the league. But yeah, we'll take a repeat of the scoreline, if nothing else, I think. Right, so we're going to get more in-depth in the game now, but first of all, we're going to listen to that Millwall podcast's feelings ahead of the match, and also the ever-reliable Graham McGarry.
Well, there, once again, you Stoke City Potters predictors, as you get ready now for your start of the festive fixture programme with that home game against Millwall. We'll take a bit more look at that in depth shortly. A game, of course, that pairs two clubs with new managers. We'll wonder how the latest new manager will be going on when he comes out at the Bet365 on Saturday afternoon to face his new supporters in Stoke City. Welcome Stephen Schumacher then to the Potteries, having spent a couple of years down in Plymouth, and what a fantastic job he did as well. He surprised many people, of course, when he stayed down at Plymouth, when he had the chance to come back up to Preston and work with his colleague Ryan Lowe. But he decided that he was going to try and forge his own career as a manager, and he's not done too bad in the early stages. Let's hope that he can keep it going and do what every Stoke City fan wants to do, is take the side back to the promised land of the Premier League. It's going to be a long time, of course, and a hard working period for Stoke to get back into that higher echelon of the English football, but you never know, given the support which he will get from you, the fans, given the backing which he will get from the owners, perhaps this is the recipe for success. Welcome Stephen Schumacher to Stoke-on-Trent. I'm sure come Saturday afternoon, he'll know what those Stoke fans are all about. Now you've got to start winning games. I've been saying that for weeks and weeks, that they've got to start winning games. Well, there's a new regime, it's a new era, and once again, it's a new start under the chairmanship of John Coates. It hasn't been much success for John Coates since he was taking more control of the club. Well, let's hope this one works out for him and Stoke can start off on winning ways. Millwall themselves, under new management, they've gone down a different route as well, bringing in Joe Edwards as their manager to replace another former Stoke manager in Gary Rowett. Schumacher takes the points this weekend. What a great start and what a great feeling it will be going into the Christmas dinner and the other festive programmes. Stoke City 2, Millwall 0.
Hello guys, I hope you're all well. It's Dan from That Millwall Podcast here, looking ahead to the clash between Stoke City and Millwall this weekend. I think it's going to be a little bit of a tight, tense game. Both teams need the points for exactly the same reason, to try and get a bit of momentum going into what is an important Christmas period. We find ourselves in a really bad rut. Obviously, Joe Edwards is our new head coach, came in following the departure of former Stoke City manager Gary Rowett at the from the Den. And Edwards won his first game 4-0, and now we're winless in six games since then, I believe it is. So we need to turn the tide really badly. It looked like we was going to do that in our last game against Huddersfield Town, but we conceded a 97th minute penalty to end up drawing that game 1-1. It just feels like at the moment we're on the bad end of some really bad luck at the moment, and we just need that luck to turn for us a little bit. But it just feels like we really can't catch a break, which is really frustrating from a Millwall point of view. And obviously, looking at the league table now, we need that break to come for us sooner rather than later. I mean, hopefully it can be Saturday's game, but I'm not expecting an easy game. Obviously, Stephen Schumacher did some great stuff when he was at Plymouth, and I think he can get Stoke going. I don't doubt the quality Stoke squad have got. I just think that they need some different ideas to get them playing to their full capability. I thought when the two teams played each other at the Den earlier this season, I thought Stoke were desperately unlucky not to walk away with a point at least that afternoon. They battered us from pillar to post, particularly in the second second half. So I think it's going to be another game where we're going to have to sit in, defend, and then maybe try and nick one on the counter-attack. But as I said, both teams are in desperate need of the points to try and pull away from that relegation zone. I'm going to give a match prediction now, and I think we're going to take, I think it's going to be a case of 1 point gain for us and maybe two drop from Stoke on the way I think the game's going to go. But I think we're going to, I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I think we've got a few more goals in us now than we did have under Rowett, but we seem to be more prone to lapses of concentration within our defence. And on paper, Stoke have some very good attacking players, and Schumacher obviously got Plymouth playing some really good attacking football, managed to get the best out of players like Morgan Whittaker down at Argyle. I think he's going to be able to do that with some of the players that he's got at Stoke. So that's my prediction for the game, and thank you for having me on your podcast.
So then, Mike, the Schumacher era begins. What are you thinking? Do you think we're going to see a similar formation to what we played at West Brom with the three centre-halves? That seems to have got him the main success in his career, doesn't it? Especially last season and a couple of games this year. They played really well at Plymouth in that formation. Not so much in the 4-3-3 he's tried. I think with the players we've got, I can fully expect him going the 3-4-2-1.
Personally, I disagree. I don't think he'll do that. Not for Millwall. And the only reason I say that, Dan, is mainly because I don't think he's had enough time. He's going to come in here this week. If he came in and got appointed on Tuesday, he would have met the players, had a couple of words. He wouldn't have done any coaching of any kind. You know, he's going to be going in there just, you know, the more mundane stuff, like sorting out his desk, getting his rooms correct, looking at the facilities, what have I got, what haven't I got. He's going to be spending most of his time on Tuesday doing that. So Wednesday, he's probably gone in there, asked, you know, Paul Gallagher to run the session, you know, show him and the players, you know, just show me what you can do. He's probably had a few pointers, but between what, Wednesday and effectively Friday, so, you know, that's three sessions probably, he's not going to be able to do too much. So he's going to have to rely on the experience of Paul Gallagher and other players, other coaches around there. So I've said it the other day, I don't put so much thought process and pressure on him for this one. I genuinely don't think he's going to be able to make much of a difference. Now, if I was going into this game as a manager, or a coach, we have to change the terminology. It's a coach, not a manager. We'll get used to it. Give us a couple of years. So if I was a coach going into it, Dan, I 100% would say to the lads, right, this is how we're going to set up. I'm not going to change anything too dramatic. We're going to make it a steady change. Go out there, show me what you're all capable of. You've all got a clean slate. I'm not going to make any preconceived ideas. This is your chance now to show me today what you're capable of. And, you know, if any of them come in and say, and don't perform, then he's going to be looking a lot closer at them when he goes back to training on Monday. So I just think this is a little bit of this is a free hit for the players. We'll see who's probably interested, because I mentioned the other night to you that there's 100%, as he's spoken to the players about his, you know, what his ideas are, and, you know, his, no doubt his little speech or what, you know, whatever they've done, you can 100% guarantee that there's players, and I said this on this other podcast as well, but there's players that have gone home that evening and have contacted their agent and said, I do not want to be here. I want to leave this club. Now, I know we would hope that wouldn't happen, but every manager and every player is going to have different ideologies about what they want. So there could be people in there thinking, this guy, don't know who he is, don't know what he's done. I don't like the sound of him. I want to go. So I think we're going to see an interesting period of time now. But I think this weekend, it's a free hit. So we'll see him in the dugout. He'll make a few changes, maybe. I genuinely do think he's going to go four at the back, not three at the back, just because we're used to it more than anything else, Dan. So I think we'll have Bonham in goal. We'll have Hoover at right back. We'll have McNally and Rose in the two centre-backs. Now, I don't know if Stevens is fit or not. I can't remember now. If he is, then I'd put Stevens in over Thompson, as although Thompson actually hasn't done that bad coming in for the last few games. I'd definitely still go for Loren and Berger as the two holding midfielders. I think that's probably going to happen. Johnson, I'm sorry, did not work. As much as Paul Gallagher did a good job, Johnson was lost. He was like a lost puppy. He didn't have a flipping clue what he was doing. He was leaving gaps down that side. That, for me, has got to be Vidigal. And he's not had a great time, but again, free hit, a chance for Vidigal to maybe just reset his own mindset. So definitely got to have Vidigal coming in. Juno has got to go into the kind of, you know, the number 10 spot, if you like. And I would keep Gooch on the right. I actually would. I don't think Tyrese is going to be back, although I think I did see him in the background of one of the Stoke videos, so maybe he is fit. But we can't drop Gooch either. And obviously Ryan May's up front, so it's actually not much of a change. I guess from that, all I'm doing is changing Vidigal for Johnson. I think that would be a fair crack of the whip, actually.
Well, with Johnson, it sort of plays again into what we were saying last week, doesn't it? About don't play him three games in a week. He's not up to playing three times in a week. His legs can't do it. So that's why West Brom, he's probably a bit anonymous, because he'd played the midweek game, played better in the midweek game, and he scored the penalty and whatever. But he's doing exactly what we were told he would do by Preston fans when we signed him. He's a good player in spirits, but don't rely on him for, you know, don't rely on him to play 90 games, game in, game out. In 90 minutes, game in, game out.
I don't get why he was played on the left-hand side, though, Dan. He's barely been performing in a central position, which is his strength. So never mind chucking him out on the left. That was peculiar, that was.
And I don't think... I mean, I'm not saying he's lazy, but I don't think his work rate is top of the... You know, top of his attributes, is it?
No.
By any stretch. So it's not as if he's going to get up and down helping the fullback out and that. I thought the interesting thing with Vidigal was as well, do you see when he came on at the weekend, within seconds, he won a corner off and nothing where the defender should have easily headed it back to the goalkeeper, but he panicked because he had Vidigal, you know, right on his heels. And it's just that, isn't it? You know, are they going to do that with no offence to Daniel Johnson, but is the defender going to make that mistake with Daniel Johnson sort of hovering behind him? No.
But
Championship defenders are scared of Andre Vidigal, aren't they? You know, they've seen what he can do, and he creates fear and panic when he's around. So for that, more than anything, you know, especially when we're at home, we should be getting, you know, try and get him on the pitch as much as possible. For me,
totally agree. What did you think about Junior being dropped out of interest, actually? Against West Brom, and because obviously, as you noticed, I didn't put him in my team, but that's only because I think Keanu didn't do anything wrong, so I can't see him being dropped.
Well, I've got him in my team, but mainly because I like to see him in the team, Rob. And again, it's a bit harsh on Jordan Thompson, who exits my team, left wing back, but yeah. I think he was unlucky not to play, to be honest. I thought he did a real good job pushing forward, and if anything, I'd have left him in and took Daniel Johnson out after the midweek game. But yeah, like I say, we got a point, and we West Brom, don't we? We should probably would have taken that before kickoff. Couple of games unbeaten now, so we got a little bit of tide turning and momentum changing. But we do definitely need a win. And I think we need to go all out for a win in this game. You know, we're eight without a victory now. That number can't get much higher before it starts becoming alarming, even with a change of manager. So for me, though, I think he will go three at the back. I think, like I say, we did that against West Brom. I can see the same sort of three centre-halves, Hoiva, McNally and Rose. Bottom, obviously, between the sticks. I think Gooch keeps his place at right wing-back. I've got Junior Chamadou coming in at left wing-back for me. Berger and Loren, obviously, in midfield. I think they're working quite well together, to be honest. They're both, you know, benefiting the last couple of games. Whether that's dismissal of Alex Neil and their two players who are benefiting from that, I don't know.
Well, I just to jump in there, I agree with you. I think Loren's been really solid. There's been a couple of times now in the last against Swansea, and he did it against West Brom as well, was the tracking back and, you know, really covering, almost basically doing what Pearson does. So Josh has been in for a lot of stick this season, and rightly so, because he looked lazy on a number of occasions. But I think that drop-in that Alex Neil actually did was a good kick up the backside for him. And I do think he's probably kept his Stoke career alive. If he puts in the same work rate under Schumacher, then he's still got a future here, I think.
Yeah, I reckon so. I think he's a decent player at this level when he's, I'd say, when he's playing even, you know, close to his potential. I think he's a very good midfielder when he plays and he's on top of his game. And I think if we can get Lewis Baker firing, and we've got, we've got Wouter Burger, who's, for me, it's funny because, like I say, we're down the bottom end of the division. And some of these players you look at and think, you know, you've got the possibility really to be one of the better players in your position in the league. You know, if Wouter Burger was, you know, on his best, I just don't see many midfielders who are technically anywhere near him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and we saw him at his best. I mean, I know the level of opposition is clear, but like when we saw him against Rotherham and a few other games earlier in the season, like he looped streets ahead, didn't he? Like his movement, his swagger, everything. He just looked different class. I think he's looked a little bit more samey. A lot of times, I don't think really standing out. You know, me and you have sat in the stadium and criticised him for just do the simple things. Stop trying to be flashy. Yeah. There's time, and that's probably experience, and also a reflection of his attitude.
He doesn't do anything easy, does he? He doesn't take the easy pass or the easy sort of, like, he'll play with more the outside of his boots instead of just a simple inside, you know. But I think it's easy to forget as well that he is only 22 coming into a new league, a league that's, you know, far quicker pace than anything he would have encountered before in his career. And also, you know, he's playing centre midfield, which of all the positions in the Championship, that is probably the most hectic one of the lot, isn't it? You know, the ball's dotting backwards and forwards all the time. And he's probably going to have games where he's struggling to, you know, assert himself on him because he's getting used to that sort of pace and end-to-endness of the division. But when he does get on it and when he is having the good days, like I say, I think he's a fantastic player. Front three for me, I don't like him playing out wide, but he does keep his places. John Ho, Vidigal on the left and Ryan Myers down the middle for me.
Yeah, fair play. Can't disagree. What scoreline you got? No, actually, I'm having a scoreline right this time because you keep bloody stealing mine and making me change. Do I think we're going to... You know what? I reckon we're going to squeeze this 1-0 to Stoke. It's going to be a tight game. I don't think Millwall are amazing. They're certainly not a bad team overall, I don't think. They're obviously having a few problems themselves, but I'm going to go Stoke 1, Millwall 0. And I do think that Juno's going to get off the mark and get his first goal.
Okay, I'm going to go 4-3-1. I think Ryan Mai, Josh Loren and Juno, I'm going to go with you and Juno getting his first step goal. I mean, looking at Millwall, I know we're sort of doing this a bit backwards, back to front, aren't we? But they've got, so Denoor's out injured, so he's going to, you know, he's not going to play. I think he can be quite a key figure for them and, you know, quite influential, can't he, in sort of the midfield areas. But Matthijs Sarkic, a player we know well, He's back in goal. Obviously, he got injured, didn't he, at the beginning of the season. Had a bit of a spell out. But, yeah, he's back between the sticks for them. Will he get a good reception, do you think, Mike?
Yeah, he did nothing wrong for us. He wasn't overly incredible, but I don't see why anyone would give him any stick.
You think he's... do you know what? I don't think not to say you'll give him stick. I'm sure we won't. But I think he's very injury-prone for a goalkeeper, isn't he? because he got injured before he joined us. He got injured when he was with us, and then he joined Millwall and got injured again straight with them.
He's the Nick Powell of goalkeepers, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's one position where you sort of, you hope you wouldn't be picking up too many injuries. It's in goal. I mean, all the protection they get.
Well, exactly. You know, if you get dropped as a goalkeeper, it's not like you're a centre back or a winger where you can get back in when someone has a bad game next week. Like you don't get rotating like that. So if he's in goal, then he needs to be careful. But I didn't think when he was here. I'm trying to remember specific games, but I don't think he was overly special at all. I think he was quite average. So I'm not thinking he's going to be able to do a worldie and keep us out all game.
I think he maybe appeared to be something special because he was replacing Jack Bonham.
Wasn't much of a...
And where Jack Bonham has been, he has dropped Ricks this season. We're not going to beat around the bush. He has chucked a couple in his own net. He's also been quite solid at other times. But that's what you get into it. I think he just gets one too many Ricks. But whereas last season, I think he's a better goalkeeper now than he was last season. I think, like I say, Sarkic coming in, well, he definitely needed even more at this point last year. Moving further up the pitch for Millwall, down the other end of it, in Tom Bradshaw, he was netting goals for fun, wasn't he? And linking up the play beautifully last year, and he just seems to have gone well off the boil for them. They've brought in Kevin Nisbet from up in Scotland. He's not done anything for them, really. He's really struggling to get going. And then the other one is Ian Fleming, the Dutchman they've got playing, who sort of plays off the strikers. Last season, absolute key man, linked up really well with Bradshaw, scoring, assisting, running the show at times for Millwall. As they were, in the top seven or eight for the majority near enough all the season. And this season, just again, nothing really. And I think those three players there are probably the reason why Millwall's struggling so much. So they have got decent talent up front, but they're just all three of them seem to be horribly out of form.
Yeah, no, they 100% do. And I was quite interested because obviously they've had a change of manager. Was it back in November?
Yeah, Joe Edwards,
wasn't it? Their fortunes haven't really turned around. I mean, I'm trying to get their fixtures up now, but I don't think their fortunes have particularly turned around since he's come in. They got a 1-1 draw versus Huddersfield the other day. Obviously, the narrow defeat to Leicester, which, I mean, let's face it, any team can get defeated by Leicester in this division. Lost then away to Cardiff, a draw against Sunderland, lost to Ipswich, which is certainly nothing to be ashamed of. But then again, like, lost at home 3-0 to Coventry. But then Sheffield Wednesday, they beat 4-0, right? Lost to Southampton. So since he's come in, he won his first game by the looks of it. So he's won one game since he came in. And the rest of them have been draws or defeats, largely defeats. So he's not had like a new manager bounce. And I know we certainly don't get them, do we? Let's be honest. But he's probably struggled to settle in there. I wonder what that's all about. Is it quality of player, maybe?
Could well be. Like I say, I think it's possibly all the eggs at Millwall are in the basket of those three players I mentioned just, aren't they, in terms of creating and scoring goals. I don't think they've particularly got many other options. It's not as if they could like take somebody out and whereas we could, take Ryan May out, put Wesley in, put as much as you may not want to, put Dwight Gale in, even put a Nathan Lowe or a Tesgell in. You've got plenty of options, haven't we? Out wide, if people are fit, you've got your Campbell, Haksabanovic, Vidigal, Lloris, Bae-Jun Ho, even people like Daniel Johnson get tried out there, Junior. We've got plenty of options. I don't see that in the Millwall squad. So I think he's maybe just got to persist with these players and find a way to get them back in form. one thing that does slightly upset me is the thought of Gary Rowers smugly sitting there watching this team like, doing a lot better since I left, aren't you? Not.
Well, yeah, at least it's not like Nathan Jones, where if he gets one thing right, then he was the man to put that in place. But Rowett, I mean, what's Rowett up to these days? He hasn't got a new job, has he? Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
No, he hasn't. I think he's been linked with the Plymouth one. I like how he's 40-1 for the Stoke job. I was like, hey, Mr. Fuseros, that's the end of that one. It's him, well, and Nathan Jones.
If there's any Plymouth fans listening, do whatever you do, protest, don't get Gary Rowett in. It'll be some of those. You're going to go from Stephen Schumacher to Gary Rowett. That would be one of the most depressing moves you could possibly want to make. I mean, I've seen Nathan Jones linked with the Plymouth job.
I was going to say it could be even worse. They've been linked with Nathan Jones.
You know what, though? Interestingly, as much as we don't like him, and I think he's a really poor manager, which is why I think largely he failed when he was here, he might actually suit somewhere like that. You know, a club that are going to give him time. They're not going to have tons of money to really play with, but there's not going to be any stupidly big egos, big personalities maybe that he's got to, you know, constantly deal with.
There's been a no D-head rule, remember?
I know, but
so there is no.
That's our opinion on him, Dan. That's the opinion on him. That's what we think he is.
I meant the squad he's going to inherit will be one with no idiots in there, because that's how Plymouth have been working.
Well, there you go. So I actually think it could be a match made in heaven for them, if I'm honest. He doesn't play horrible, boring football when everything's going right. It's not what he wants to do. It could be a good one for them. But anyway, this isn't a Plymouth podcast. But yeah, I actually don't think it'd be a bad match for them, if I'm honest with you. So like I say, I think Millwall are not doing great at the minute. We're not doing great, which means I think it's going to be a very, very tight game, hence my 1-0. So if you'd like to revise your 3-1 prediction, you're very welcome to. But yeah, I've got a feeling you won't.
No, we're going to smash them off the park, mate.
Just very quickly, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead here, right? I know we've got some bits we want to probably just finish off with. I just wanted to get your thoughts, really, because obviously we're coming up to a really busy festive period. We've got a lot of, well, we'll look ahead to the games. I just wanted to take the next kind of five league games, if you don't mind. So obviously we've got Millwall. We know it's going to be a tough game. But I was just trying to think, like, Schumacher's coming in here. He's probably not going to have too many more difficult starts to this, I don't think. So he's got Millwall, Birmingham, Watford, Ipswich, Brighton in the Cup, which you can forget about. And then probably his easiest game is away to Rotherham. What do you think is a realistic expectation coming out of that? I mean, Ipswich is going to be bloody difficult on New Year's Day. They are exceptional, and I'll hold my hands up and say that they have completely proven me wrong from the start of this season. I didn't think they'd carry it on. So really well done to Ipswich. But, you know, Watford's are not a bad side. They're getting their act together. Did they beat Preston 4-1 away? Something like that, I think it was, at the weekend. You know, Brum, I'd love us to beat Brum. Absolutely love it. It's almost like the, Keegan type speech. I would love it if we beat them, just because I'm sick of hearing Wayne Rooney's Birmingham. I don't give a shit about Wayne flipping Rooney. Like, I don't understand what Wayne Rooney's got to do with it. So I'd love to beat them, Dan. But do you think he's got... Oh, sorry, go on.
Wow.
No, it bugs me. It really bugs me when managers get jobs that they simply do not deserve. And John Eustace got treated like crap. Lampard's Derby and Steven Gerrard's this. If those players did not have their names in Premier League stuff, they wouldn't be anywhere near a single one of these clubs. Yet other managers get sacked because of a name. So I don't, for the actual fans of Birmingham, I don't want them to be relegated. But for everything else, I would love them to plummet and get relegated for that very reason, because it would teach their owners a lesson. I've just gone into a really passionate thinking that I didn't see that coming.
more passionate about Birmingham getting relegated than yours don't do well.
Yeah, I didn't think I felt that passionately about it, Dan, but I clearly did. Anyway, I've gone away from my own question I was trying to tell you. What do you think we're going to get out of them? Because they are still some quite difficult games.
Right, so hit me with them again. So we've got Birmingham.
Okay, so we've got, after Millwall, we've got Birmingham away.
That's a win.
Watford away.
Might struggle on that. We'll take a draw.
2 days later, which is another factor as well. So it's Friday at 7:45 kickoff on the Friday, and then on the Monday is a 3 p.m. kickoff at home to Ipswich.
Now, that match.
Don't say we're going to beat Ipswich, Dan.
No, I'm not going to say we're going to beat Ipswich. Away from home, they're not. At home, they're sort of invincible near enough, aren't they? Away from home, they're still picking up a lot of points, but they're conceding a lot of goals, and that may give us a sniff of something. I'm not going to predict that we win, but the quick turnover will play more into our hands than it will Ipswich's, I believe. We've got a bigger squad than them. I think they've got quite a tight-knit squad, a squad that's doing bloody well, let's be honest. Churning out win after win after win after win, but they are, like I say, there's not. They haven't got a 22-23 man squad. We use 30 players this year. If we turn up for that game and half a dozen of our players are shattered, or they're not the levels are down, whatever, we can just bring the players in, can't we? Swap and rotate them, bring some in. I'm not sure Ipswich have got they've got the benefit of doing that. So that could give us a sniff. I'm going to say we get a point in that game.
Okay, all right. I mean, I'll take that right now. We'll include it. Brighton in the cup, I think that's a loss.
Knowing us, we'll probably get a draw and then lose the replay.
Yeah, I mean, we were great on.
Are there any replays in the cup anymore? I don't know. They keep threatening to take them away, don't they?
I've got to go for a loss there. I'm sorry. I've got to. And then Rotherham away. It's got to be 3 points. I know they're a better team at home than they are away, but we've got to beat them for the simple fact that they'll probably be, if the results don't go our way, they'll be hot on our heels for that relegation space. So we cannot afford to go into that game without a decent amount of points, and they'll lose that one as well. That would be really squeaky bum time, I think.
Yeah, I'm going for a win there, which takes me to 11 points. So, yeah, 11 points and a cup replay away at Brighton.
So I'm going in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points for me.
Fair enough. I think anywhere between 8 and 11 is a decent start for him, isn't it?
Okay, what else have we got to talk about before we wrap this up then, Dan?
Would you like some Super 6 and Gaffer?
Oh, yes, Super 6, I would. I think I beat you this week, if I remember rightly.
I think you did. I got 7 points and you got 9. So, top of the shop, we have joint leaders. So, Michael Gadgett and Sean Flanagan both have 2-3-7. To joint lead overall, and Nigel Warham, a new name in the top three, he's gone up a couple of places and onto 2-2-7 to take third spot. Overall, I'm still ahead of you, but you've closed the gap slightly. So last week I got 7, you got 9, so I'm in 52nd on 190, and you are 62nd on 185. So you're only 5 points behind me now. Only 5 points behind. There were 3 people who won the round. Joe Thompson, Thomas Longshore and Gary Lee all got 14 points. So well done to you three. So, Gaffer, Stoke is Bay, lead the way on 1805. Vida Galacticos, I like it. That's a new name. They're up to 1724, flying up into second place. And then Mr. Kadri is third on 1699. So, yeah, some new names in the top three there. I'm in 36th overall. I'm sort of consistently sat there in the mid 30s, not really moving either way, to be fair. But I haven't really made many changes for a long, long time. In fact, looking at my side here, I do have I do have a couple of changes, so I might have to make them. I've got a Vidigal still in my team. That's probably not helping matters lately. I did put Schmodics in there the other week, so he's hopefully scoring me a few points. And Adam Armstrong up front. Yes. I know what I did do. I swapped the Ipswich strikers around Broadhead and Chaplin, and then the one I brought in, the one that dropped to the bench for me, went and scored a couple of goals, and the one that came in did nothing. So I'm like, wonderful. Typical. So yeah, I think that's everything, Mike. No quiz this week because you've only got to wait another 24 hours after this pod comes out to get our Christmas special. So you know what we'll do? Christmas special is always, we have, you know, a few guests on, we have a good laugh, we look very light-hearted, great spirits, and we have a little bit of a bumper quiz, don't we, as well? So that's what we've got in store coming out on Saturday, isn't it? That's coming out on Saturday morning, that one, Mike.
Yeah, it certainly will be, mate. I'm looking forward to it. The Christmas ones are normally really, really good. What I was going to say, I did this the other week. Would you like to hear, try and find the most random country that we've been listening to within the last 7 days? Would you like to know?
Go on.
Now, Cayman Islands are back up there, so whoever's listening in the Cayman Islands, we appreciate it. Grenada is one of the random ones. Indonesia. Is another as well. So I'll give you more random ones. Mentioned Cambodia last week. Barbados. So someone's lying on the beach listening. In fact, not someone. There's a lot of people actually by the looks of this. Surprised me. There's definitely gone as a big family. Gone to Barbados. Let's have a look. Korea. It's interesting. So we've got some Juno fans. And then, yeah, and I scattered the normal ones. But, I thought it's always interesting to see who's lying on a beach while we're sat in sunny Stoke-on-Trent. That's brilliant.
I love it. Yes, so to all you Stoke fans all around the world, we bid you farewell on this podcast. You'll be hearing much more of our voices. Like I say, if you haven't checked out the podcast that we did, the Spaces podcast that was released earlier this week, go and have a listen to that because it's got some fantastic insight into the new gaffer. If that's what I'm going to go with, Mike. It's not manager, not head coach, just gaffer. Just call him the gaffer. And then obviously, like I would say, you're going to have more content. So tomorrow, Saturday morning, you're going to have our Christmas special coming out. And then Sunday, Christmas Eve, we're going to also see the release of our preview podcast for Birmingham. So yes, plenty of you to listen to. I hope you don't get sick of hearing us. But for now, go on, Stoke.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.